But where did we get the biblical, what we call the biblical canon from? Where do we get our scriptures from? Where did they come from? And why did we choose the books that we chose? I want you to share this with you because I want you to have confidence in the Bible that you have in your hand and the Bible that you use and the Bible that you love. And really, there are probably two places that our scriptures come from and two reasons why we've decided to have the books in particular in the New Testament that we have. The first one is apostolic authority. So we know that there were 11 disciples of Jesus, plus Paul, another apostle, plus some other apostles in the early church as well. And they basically heard from God and spoke to the church. There was a bunch of other writings around the time, as we saw in the video, and it seemed like, how do we decide what is scripture? What was happening at that time was the Roman government were basically persecuting Christians for even having a copy of the scripture. And so there was a real need to actually compile these letters. Because if you don't know, Paul wrote a bunch of letters in the New Testament. That's why we've got those. There were four separate writers that wrote the Gospels, and we've got those. The book of Acts, written by Luke. Book of Revelation, written by the apostle of Jesus, John. And so there was like an idea and a sense that these books had apostolic authority. They were written by the apostles. And the apostles, of course, started to get martyred. They started to die off. And so there was a real need to gather these scriptures together and to be able to put them together in the book that we now have and that you now have. Maybe one thing we don't realize is back in the day, there weren't photocopiers. There weren't iPhones that you can take a photo of a text and have it translated into a PDF on your phone. There was none of that. So how do we get all the different copies? Well, the incredible thing about that culture and about that society was that they would copy things word for word. And I've actually got a scripture here which perhaps illustrates that in Matthew 5, verse 18. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is reached. And then in the King James Version, which puts it this way, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no way pass from the law till all be fulfilled. They would literally hand copy from the scroll the scriptures that they'd been given, the letter that had been sent out. And they were meticulous in how they did that. It was very important to them that not one stroke, not one dot was different. And that's how come when we have our scriptures and we have them today, we can be really assured of the accuracy of those early accounts in the original language. So the apostles basically came together and decided which books had come from a reliable source. They also agreed about the inspiration, 2 Timothy chapter 3:16. And this is the verse we're looking at this morning, both in this section of my message and in the next session. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God. Now, when Paul wrote that to Timothy, of course, he was primarily referring to the Old Testament because he was writing the New Testament himself as he wrote that. And not all the books had been written when he wrote this scripture. All scripture is inspired by God. Inspired is not the sort of phrase you might put on a Hallmark card and say, be inspired to have a great game of table tennis, or be inspired to do something incredible. That's not what it means. It's actually a much deeper and rich idea. The idea of inspiration is that God breathes into you the breath of God, and he gives you a truth which you then write down. It's interesting when you watch that video, it talks about all the different types of people that wrote parts of Scripture. The wonderful thing about the Bible is that we see the character and the personalities of the people that wrote it. They weren't sitting at a desk writing down characters as God told them exactly what to write. In fact, perhaps the only place that is in the Bible is the Ten Commandments, right? When Moses is up there and he receives the Ten Commandments on the stone tablets, God gives them to him. But nearly every other part of the scripture is written under inspiration of God. God is actually, and this is the incredible thing, God is using the culture and the personality of the person writing it to bring his message to the people. And that's a beautiful thing. You have people like David, King David writing the Psalms, and you know what? He's up and he's down and he's very emotional. Then you have someone writing the book of Leviticus with all those laws and all those regulations. And I'm imagining someone with an Excel document, you know, typing all this sort of stuff out, because you read that and it's laborious and it's so detailed filled. Then you have John writing the book of Revelation, who saw and felt and has this amazing emotive language. Every writer of every book brings to that book their own self and their own personality. So inspiration of God is not some doof, 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 you know, very correct way or whatever. They bring all their own feeling and all their own imaginings, in a sense, to it. But God inspires them. And so the scriptures are inspired, which means that they are without error in what they are talking about. It's not a science book. It's a spiritual book, describing a people and a culture and a society. And of course, there is scientific truth in it. There's truth about history. Not for one moment am I saying that that is not what it is. But it is a book that is inspired by God and given to you to inspire you. It is God-breathed. All scripture breathed by God. So when they came to figure out which books were in and which books were out, there was just a real sense that there needed to be this spiritual alignment in those books. There were some books around that were written which you could tell the person writing them was really pushing their own barrow, pushing their own ideas. There's one particular writer who talked about how Jesus was just like the Old Testament God, vengeful, and he wanted to get rid of most of the Gospels except for the Gospel of Luke and most of the writings except for a couple of the letters of Paul. And so you look at that letter that he wrote, it was about 150 years after Jesus died, and it was easy for them to see, well, this is not part of Scripture. He wants it to be, but it's not. And if you look at your Bible, you will find an alignment. You will find an alignment in the message of God in it. You'll read the four Gospels, and you will see different perspectives and what they all bring. Matthew brings this idea of Jesus as king. Mark brings this idea of Jesus' action, and it's the shortest gospel in the Bible. And he wants to talk about the miracles, and he wants to talk about Jesus going from here to there. And then Luke wants to talk about Jesus as a man and all the different things that Jesus did. And he wants to go into great detail about particularly the miracles and how they worked. And that's because Luke was a doctor. John's gospel, probably the most distinct of all the gospels apart from the other three, you know, he wants to talk about Jesus, as we had read to us, John 1, verse 1. Jesus going all the way back to being God. And John takes a really different view to the other three. Does that mean they're not in alignment? No, they're all in alignment. But the writers are bringing their own personality and who they are to the scriptures. And there is confidence, and you can have confidence in your scriptures that you have. A couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about translations, and that's going to be a lot of fun. But I want to pivot right now, and I want to talk about how the Bible influences your life. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. 1:1. It answers the question that every 2-year-old, every 3-year-old asks their parents. Where do I come from? Who made me? And perhaps a little later on, what am I here for? The very first verse in the very first book in the Bible. In the beginning, God created. And I think sometimes we argue over the things that are not so important in those first two chapters. I think the most important thing there is, who made you and what are you here for? That's a key question that every human being needs to answer. In the beginning, God created you. That's why you're here. What we have on our bracelets from Deuteronomy 6, love the Lord your God. This is your purpose in life. Your purpose in life is to love the Lord your God. None of us, I don't think anyone here could say, well, at times I haven't got distracted from that purpose. I think of all of us would say it, at times I've put other things in front of what I do know is my primary purpose in life. We've sought after even good things, getting married, having a house, having children, getting through life, finding a job that we really love. These things are important. These things are good. But these are not your primary purpose in life. The most important thing for you to do with your life, your purpose, why you are created, why God even made the whole universe and everything we experience, your purpose in life is to love the Lord your God. And so we go back to the Bible and it reminds us once again of what our purpose in life is and why you are made. I wonder if even now you feel like, well, I'm distracted from that purpose and I've lost that purpose. To love the Lord your God. It's why children's ministry is so important. It's why the next generation is so important. It's so important that we are able to answer those questions. And the questions keep coming. Of course, you know, then of course the question comes, well, who made God? The most frustrating question in the world, right? And I went to Murdoch University and I studied philosophy and we still can't answer that question. But at some point or other, there must be the beginning of everything. There must be an ultimate truth. There must be something or someone that brings purpose to all this. Someone that is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, that is eternity. And for us, the first verse in the Bible, we open that up and it gives us the answer for life. In the beginning, God created. And later on, we discover our purpose. So the Bible teaches us what is true. It gives us our worldview on life. We look through the glasses that God gives us and we see the world differently and we see the world as it actually is. It teaches us what is true. When you open your Bible, you will find truth, which will give you a worldview and a way to live. Secondly, it will make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It will make us realize what is wrong in our lives. In James chapter 1, it says this, and it's not on the screen. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself. You walk away. You forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you have heard, then God will bless you for doing it. And I get up in the morning and I look at myself in the mirror. Some Sundays I come to church, I should have looked a bit closer. I was sitting down once and someone texted me a photo and my button, my top button was plugged into my bottom button, the bottom button, you know what I'm saying? And the microphone cord was all wrong. I won't say who that was, but they know who they are and they're here today. And I'm like, I should have looked at myself a bit closer in the mirror before I came to church, right? Some of you, no, you're all looking good. You're all looking great. But it's like a mirror is there to give you a representation of what it is that you look like and what you are really like. A mirror doesn't necessarily lie. You may lie to yourself when you look at that mirror, but the mirror doesn't lie. It tells you, okay, I should have left that donut. Oh, I should have, you know, gone for a walk yesterday or whatever it was. It tells you the truth when you look at it. When you read the Bible and when you see how you are meant to live, it's really hard to not realize what is wrong in your life. When you read some of the stories of the decisions that people made and the choices that they made, the sacrifice that they made, the kindness they showed, the love they demonstrated, when you read how Jesus lived his life, and then you reflect upon your own life, it is like a mirror that you look at and you can see yourself. If you're reading the Bible just for knowledge and just to know more, that's a really easy way to read the Bible. But as I said before, I've been to university, I've studied the scriptures, and I've listened to teachers who have no relationship with God telling me what the Bible says and the history and all the rest. And it doesn't mean a whole lot. What the Bible is there for is actually to transform your life and for you to be challenged about you when you read it. I open it up It's like a mirror, and it reflects back to me about the things that are wrong with my life. That may actually be quite painful. And it appears to me, the longer I go on in life, the more I understand it's a lifelong journey. And there are things about God that He's chipping away at and changing. And the things that He wants to change can sometimes be the most painful things of all. But do you have, and that's the question, that's the challenge, do you have the desire and the hunger to be more like Jesus? Do you have the humbleness to stand before the mirror of God's word and say, okay, God, show me what it is that you want to change today? Whoa. Show me what it is you want to change today. And that is a lifelong process. I've got mentors, I've got friends, I have people in my life that are close to me that speak into my life, and that is wonderful and that is good. And sometimes they shake me up a bit. And I need to go back and open the Bible and say, okay, is there truth in what they're saying? How does my life match up to Jesus and to how He presents Himself in the Scriptures? It is a mirror. It tells us what is true, and it helps us to realize what is wrong in life. The Bible also teaches us to do what is right. One of the values we have as a church is that we will act spiritually. We've got this in our church values. Before we act, we pray and read the Bible, listening for the voice of God. The questions we ask ourselves is, have we prayed about it? Have we heard from God? You know, one of the favorite scriptures that people have, and I don't know why they have this scripture, because I reckon they need to reread it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. Does anyone know what that is? Anyone want to yell it out? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. It's great, right? God's going to show me what I need to do. God's going to show me where I need to go. And we have this sense in our heart. I want to be shown what to do. That way it's sure. But the most challenging part of that scripture is it's where it says, lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. Mate, the amount of people that come to me and say, I feel God is leading me to do this, it feels right, I'm thinking, wow, what you're deciding to do is directly against what God has written in His Bible. Directly against it. And you're telling me, this is how God is leading me to do this, it feels right? You're making choices which are so unwise in your life, and you're making them deliberately because I think we think in our heart, in our life, somewhere on the line, and I can take some responsibility for this, we feel like God is just there to make us happy. To make us happy. And if I'm not happy, there's something wrong and I need to find my own happiness. And you can look in your Bible and you can find examples of people that have done that, that have chosen to circumnavigate, to work around God's ways and God's will. And you can see for generations the effect that that has upon people. Lean not on your own understanding. Well, in order to lean not on your own understanding, you need to open the scriptures and see what they actually say. What does the Bible actually say about this situation? Not what do I feel like doing, what feels right, what is going to bring me happiness, because that must be what God wants. But no, what does the Bible actually say? And this is very challenging. Very challenging when you're dealing with someone in a situation where they don't have all that they thought they would have or all they thought they should have. That is so hard. That's the life and the path of sacrifice. Now, I can't really tell you much about sacrifice, really. I'm so fortunate in my life with what I have, where I live, with the things that I possess. I cannot stand up here and say, compare myself at all, really, to those that have gone before in the faith and made incredible sacrifice for God. I could point you to some things. I could point you to some small things and some ways of sacrifice. But contentment godly contentment is really what God wants for you. And the hardest bit of contentment is where you don't have what you thought you would have, what you think God should give you. But lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. That's a really hard decision. God will show you what it is that he wants you to do. He will show you which path to take. We all live in a sinful world, and we are affected by sin. We're affected by our own sin. We're affected by sickness and disease. We're affected by so many things. And so many things do not work out the way that we thought that they would or should. That doesn't give us license to just disregard what God tells us to do and what God tells you to do in your life. Because I've seen people make that choice, and I've seen what it results, and I've seen it myself, and I've also seen it in the scriptures. If God's word truly is breathed in, and it truly is the way that he wants you to live, then read it. And trust not on your own understanding. So just as we close this morning, I just got some points here which I just wanted to share with you. What should I do with the Bible? What is the application for you and for your life? What should you do with the Bible? Well, you should read it every day. You should read it every day. There are going to be some days where you're going to pick up the Bible. Maybe you're going to open your phone up and grab your YouVersion when you first get out of bed. And there's going to be some days where you read your Bible and there's not going to be some great thing coming off the plate. But if I said to you, have you eaten today? You would say, and you said no, I'd say, you're hungry? You'd say yes. Do you remember what you ate for a meal 3 weeks ago on a Tuesday morning? Probably not. But it nourished you for that day. There are days when I wake up, in fact, I could even talk about yesterday when I'm going through the book of Deuteronomy and I'm reading that first chapter in Deuteronomy. I think, there's not a lot here, Lord. But there was something about just the discipline of reading that scripture which does me good. It will do you good to go into that spiritual discipline of reading the Bible every day. I'm not saying read six chapters. I'm saying just read some scripture in the morning as you start your day. Read it to find out more about yourself. So when you open up the Bible and you read it, pray this prayer, because it's a partnership, right? When you open the Bible, you are giving God the opportunity for his Holy Spirit to illuminate the scriptures, to make them real, and he will speak to you about you. So read your Bible to find out more about yourself. There are things you don't know about yourself, which you'll only discover if you open the mirror and look into the mirror. Read it to praise God and thank him. You know, it doesn't all have to be deep soul searching. It can be opening up a psalm and saying, Lord, you are good. And I'm going to remind myself again today that you are good. And I will praise you again today. Love reading through the psalms. I know someone that shared with me how much they struggle with reading the Bible. They've been reading the Psalms for the last 2 years. Psalm a day. Read it to praise God and thank him. But finally, and this is my final thought, and I really want you to get this. It is actually a way God will speak to you. Read it because you know God will speak to you through it. The Christian faith is not one that I can't give it to you and say, here it is, I'm going to spoon feed it to you. The Bible is actually the way God wants to speak to you about you. It's actually the way he wants to mature you. And I would love to see how God is working in your life, not because of a sermon I preached or a devotion or anything else, but simply because you are reading your Bible for yourself and you are discovering it for yourself. In the early years of the church, you know, they would get that letter from the apostle and they would devour it and it'd be read out loud. Not everyone had a copy. And they'd be reading it out loud. And you can imagine how precious those documents were. Can you imagine being in China right now where they're trying to remove the scriptures and the Bible apps from everyone's phone? Why? And why was the printing press so amazing as they printed the Bible for people? It was amazing because people could now have the Bible in their own hands. You live in the most potent and incredible time in church history where you have God's Word. Why is that so potent? Why is that so powerful? Because it has the power to change your life, to change you. So read it, because God has a word for every single one of us. Thank you, Father, so much. We are so blessed and so fortunate. Thank you, Lord, for the goodness of our God. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to you and sense and know your holy presence. I pray for each person that has listened to this message this morning. Will I pray the Holy Spirit challenge them this week to pick up their scriptures, to open them up, to hear your voice. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.